Good morning, everybody. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to finish what we started last week. So while you're turning there, I'm torn between two jokes. Kennedy gave me another one this week, so I'm going to go with hers, and I'll save mine for another day. My other one came from a children's pastor, so I'll go with Kennedy. So what kind of shoes do frogs wear? Open-toed shoes. Y'all, I literally laughed out loud in the car when she told me that one. We were on the way to school, and she said, "Dad, I got a frog joke." And I said, "What is it?" She told me, and I said, "That one's good. I'm going to use that one Sunday." She's good, huh? I prophesied over my own life years ago that God had called me to be a Christian comedian. Perhaps I missed the prophecy by a generation. I don't know. We entitled this message, Fishing or Drowning Worms. This is week two. Last week we talked about the invitation to follow Jesus. This week we're going to talk about knowing our role in that. So Matthew chapter 4 verse 19 says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Last week we talked about that invitation. Perhaps the greatest invitation of all history was given to these four fishermen on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And last week, we talked about how Jesus looked at them and said, "Follow me," and what that meant. As exciting as it is to look on at that scriptural account, we need to understand that he gives us that same invitation today. So we can look back at history and we can go, look, I know this blows your mind when I say stuff like this, but you know that this is a historical textbook. I just, sideline, has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon, but you know, I was going to be a history teacher, so I want you to understand. The Bible is a historical textbook. It is probably the best one because we really can't debate its accuracy. As a history major, one of the early lessons you learn in college is that history is written by the victor. And so if you're really going to be a student of history, you have to study every perspective. You have to understand who wrote it and why they wrote it. Well, when we understand that God's word was written by him, and this is his word, we don't have to wonder about the accuracy of the text. Anyways, don't let me waste too much time on my history talk. As great as it is to understand and to look on with amazement and to go, wow, this greatest invitation. We need to process that that invitation rolls on through history. And as that invitation is given to us, even today, to come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We need to wrap our heads around, what does that mean? And I was so encouraged last week because some of you sitting in here got it. And you went, you know what? Yeah, Jesus, I will follow you. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what the things that are coming at me are going to be. I don't know. But Lord, I know that you're a great fisherman. And if you're promising to make me a fisher of men, I'm going to follow you because I want to catch men. I want to win souls to the kingdom. And so I'm going to follow you. We talked about how that in order to follow Jesus, it means that we're going to have to prioritize this mission, which means that the business of winning souls is going to have to become more important in our life. There are going to be things that are good things, that are okay things, that are not sin things, that are going to have to be pushed to the side because we all have finite capacity. We can't just generate more time. It's one thing that the rich, the poor, the young, the old, we all have the exact same thing when it comes to time. And so we're going to have to prioritize the work of the kingdom in our life if we want to follow Jesus. Then we're going to have to make the trek. No matter how tough the trail to get to the good fishing holes, they're usually not right off the side of the interstate. We're going to have to make some tough choices. We're going to have to be self-disciplined. We're going to have to, again, turn away some things so that we can be able to get to the places where we can catch a lot of fish. And then last, we're going to be committed to the plan. So if you want to follow Jesus, when the truck shows up on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock and he lays on the horn, you're going to have to run out and get in it. He's not going to drag you kicking and screaming. You're going to have to decide beforehand, this is what I'm going to do, and you're going to do it. So that was last week. But this week, we're going to peel the onion of this story back a little bit farther. When we follow Jesus to become fishers of men, remember we said he supplies the bait, he takes us to the fishing hole, and we reel them in. So who gets the fish on the hook? I know some of you who may not go fishing very often, you may not understand, but fish aren't just chilling out waiting to jump on your hook. It usually takes a little bit of skill. In fact, I have lost many a worm to a really smart fish who knew how to get just up next to the hook and eat my worm off. So there's a work, there is an art to getting a fish on the hook. There is a work to setting that hook where that fish will not win. But in this example, if Jesus makes us fishers of men, who is it? Is it us or him that puts the fish on the hook? Many well-meaning Christians have missed a lot of fish by forgetting that part of the process. What part of the process are they responsible for? You know, if I took Kennedy fishing and I depended on her to hook the fish, I would need to be in the corner praying for a miracle because it's just not her game. She doesn't know it. Now, I think if I took Jimmy fishing, I should sit back until he hands me a rod with a fish running on it, because between me and Jimmy, that rascal knows how to put a fish on a hook. So whose role in this fishing expedition is that? What is our role in evangelism? What is our role in the kingdom business? And by that, we also need to understand what is God's role. So that's what we're going to talk about today. When I read this passage the first time, one of the things that jumped out at me was in the NIV it says, "And I will send you out." But in the King James, it says, "I will make you." And as I was reading the "I will make you," I was like, ooh, that's, I won't say new, but that's, it's kind of like a spotlight on that. I said, all right, well, Matthew 4:19 has an if-then type promise in it. Jesus plainly promised that if they would follow him, then he would make, and if you see on your notes, I wrote the make in all caps because I think that's really important. He would make them fishers of men. We read in other places that we may sow seed and we may water somebody else's seed, but God gives the increase, right? I mean, these are all things that we have rolling around in our head, but when we are considering the work of evangelism, we need to understand, we need to know our role. That's why I entitled it, subtitle, Know Your Role. Anybody else in here thinking in their head what comes after know your role? Okay, sorry. Younger demographic. You know, I think I can say it. We need to know our role and shut our mouth. It's that simple. Because there comes a point when we get outside of the lanes that God intended for us to drive in, and when we try to set the hook, we get in his way. So we need to know our role. And then y'all hear the rest of that after that, so I'm going to say that again. So the NIV says, "I will send you out to be fishers of men," and I think that in this case, personally, you know, I don't want to get into debating versions of the Bible. I've had somebody try to do that with me. I'm like, whatever. In this case, I think the King James does better, because the King James uses the phrase, "I will make you." And so I went back, because I was grappling with this. I was like, you know, if it's "I will send you" versus "I will make you," I'm not sure if I'm understanding this correctly. So I went back to the Greek, and I'm going to butcher this word, but I'm going to try it. The Greek word that is used there is poieo. Right? That's the southern Greek word. It's from the south of Greece. It means to manufacture or construct. So when Jesus says that he is going to poieo them fishers of men, sounds kind of French to me, but anyways, it conveys the sentiment that their fisherman experience will be the produce of his hands, not theirs. This is a critical element in this passage. Jesus is telling us a key here. This is a key about evangelism. Y'all, by the way, I keep using a real Christian-y word like evangelism. That just means telling people about Jesus. Now that's, when I say evangelism, it's just a shorthand version of going, hey, y'all, you've been saved. You know what y'all tell people about it. That's when I say evangelism, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Okay, so we're all on the same page. I'm just real sensitive about using real Christianese kind of words, and so we just need to. All right, so evangelism, the work of evangelism. When Jesus tells us this, that he is going to make us fishers of men, he's declaring to us, there's a critical key here. We will not be self-made fishers of men. We're not going to be self-made evangelists. We're not going to be great flaming evangelists because we are wonderful and because we figure out the recipe and because we do anything associated with the process. He is going to make us, which means the success of evangelism rests a lot in his camp. He has a specific role. This is not a all on the saints objective. This is a partnership. This is a team effort. This is a, he has a role and we have a role. Okay? Our imperative is to follow Jesus. The indicative of that imperative is that he will make us into fishers of men. So in Scripture, a lot of times you'll see the if you do, then I will. Okay? So if you repent, I will save you. Right? Okay. So if you believe, you can have eternal life. Okay? So if you will follow me, I will make you. Not you will make yourself, not you will become, not you. If you will follow me, which is why I started with follow me, you got to figure out how to follow Jesus. Okay, so you follow Jesus based on everything we learned last week. The other side of that coin is, if you do that, I will make you. I will manufacture. I will construct. I will produce in you fishers of men. The harvest will be a result of God providing the increase. Remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, where Paul is talking. Paul says, I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. The work of producing a harvest belongs to God. So we need to remember, it is not you or me who convinces men of their sin or their need for a Savior. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is reserved exclusively for him. In fishing terms, Jesus, his expert angling is what gets the fish on the hook. You let him, because he knows what we're fishing for. You let him pick the bait. You let him pick the spot. You let him pick the technique, because that's his role. That's not your job. That's not your objective. Not to be a Debbie Downer, but frankly speaking, you're not well suited for that. I'm not either. We as humans are not well suited for the work of convincing men that they need a Savior. Remember where Scripture also teaches us that the way of the cross is absolute foolishness to people who have not experienced it? We're not wired that. There's a supernatural component to this exercise that we have to acknowledge we cannot affect. That's the Holy Spirit's role. We need to know our role. The Holy Spirit has a job to do that only he can do. And you know, Jesus taught us that nobody comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. John 16, 7 through 11, Jesus also tells us that it's the Holy Spirit's job to convince the world of sin. Why do we bring this out? We each have a role in the evangelism equation. God has one part of the equation. While he leaves, and I think it's gracious that he does this, he leaves another part for us. many well-meaning Christians have taken the rod out of Jesus' hands because they thought they could hook the fish better than the Holy Spirit could. I want you to think about that. You know, I got to admit, I've done it myself. There have been times when I have been working with someone and I have been so eager to get them across the finish line and get them in the boat and get them changed. I didn't have the patience to let the Lord do what he needed to do with the rod. See, the Lord knows that fish. The Lord knows that fish better than me or you. The Lord knows what makes them tick. He knows what's inside of them. He knows what their fears. He knows what their anxieties. He knows what their hopes and their dreams are. He knows them. Let him set the hook. And that's hard, because to do that, you know what that means? That means you're sitting on a boat. Sitting on my hands because I want to grab that rod. I want to. But Lord knows. The Lord knows. We have to, and this is why I want you to grab this. I want you to grab a hold of what is your role. Because in moments like that where you're insanely tempted to jump in and grab the rod, you need to have the self-discipline to go, that's not my role. I need to be like Jason fishing with Jimmy. Jason's sitting over there, you know, eating peanuts, knowing Jimmy's going to hand me a rod and let me fight a good one, you know. But anyway, sir. So point two. If the first point was that God has a role and his role is to drive the fish into the net, then point two is our job. What's our role? It's to cast the net. Luke's gospel, so I want you to go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke's gospel gives us a more detailed account of this occasion. It illustrates to a real life fishing trip how evangelism in the kingdom works. Peter had tried all night to convince these fish to get into the net. But all Jesus had to do was tell him when and where to drop the net, and he caught more fish than he could ever imagine. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 5. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read a lot of it. So I'll just acknowledge, while I still hear some of you turning, some people don't believe that Luke chapter 5 verses 1 through 11 is a more detailed account of what happened in Matthew. But I checked with the boss, and he and I agree on this one. And a handful of other people agree too, right? I mean, it's, yeah. So we're going to pick up in verse 4. It says, when he had finished speaking, that he is Jesus, he said to Simon, that's Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So remember last week I told you guys, you know, Matthew's over here, Matthew and Mark, they're like, Jesus, you know, walked up to these guys, said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they said, okay, we'll go. Remember I told you Luke's over in the corner going, dude, there's so much more to the story. Okay, this is the more to the story. So when Jesus offered that invitation, it was after they had been fishing that night. So Jesus had preached. They had been listening to Jesus teach about the gospel and the good news. They go out. Jesus produces this great catch of fish. And then he looks at them and says, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I mean, who wouldn't, right? If this guy can wrangle this stuff so well, surely we'll give him a shot at people, right? Okay, so anyways. In chapter 5, we see a great illustration of how this evangelism thing works out in real life. Jesus ordered Peter to go out to deeper water and drop his nets. Peter explains, Jesus, we have fished all night long. We have been right ahead. We have been in this spot, Lord, and we fished all night. Now, we know you're a really good preacher. But Jesus, the fish ain't biting. We don't know where they're at. We don't know what they're doing. Kind of frustrated here. We were up all night. We helped you preach today. Really? But because you say so, Lord, we'll try it. To Peter's credit, he did it anyways. I mean, he politely told Jesus, "You're crazy." But he did it anyways. It didn't make sense to him. He didn't understand what Jesus was telling him to do, but he obeyed. And he catches more fish than he or his partners can figure out what to do with. So how does this illustration work for us? If Peter had fished there all night with the same boat, the same bait, the same net, and caught nothing, why would he catch anything now? Because Jesus told him it was time to fish. If we believe that people can only respond when the Spirit draws, remember that's what, point one, that's what we're talking about. The only time people respond is when the Spirit draws them. So if we believe that the only time people can respond is when the Spirit draws them, then we must admit that our argument, our case for Jesus, won't be what wins them. It will only be the revelation of the gift of God's grace. Only that revelation is going to be what opens them up to receive the gospel. So you might be listening to this going, "Well, wow, that's, so you're telling me to do nothing?" No, I'm not telling you to do nothing. Come on now. Any of you who know me know better than that. I'm telling you, don't get drugged down in the business of trying to hook fish. That's not your job. You do have a job. Your job is to cast the net. Jesus took Peter to the right place with the right equipment at the right time. And you know, let's just be real for a minute. Let's be like little six-year-olds and let's dream. You all understand that Jesus could have went, "Hey, fish, get in the boat." He is Jesus. I mean, it'd be like what some of my family used to do when they fished with dynamite. I'm not going to tell who told me this story, but apparently you could take an old crank telephone and give them fish an energizing experience. Just reel them up to the surface with a different kind of rod, you know? But anyways. Jesus could have surely went, "Yo, fish, in the boat now." And they'd have been like, "All right." You know? But he didn't. He didn't. You know, Jesus could, I mean, really, he could step into every unbeliever's life in physical form right now. Understand that. He could say, you think about right now, I want you to think about that lost family member, that lost friend that you've been hoping would find Jesus. It is fully within Jesus' abilities, fully within the realm of possibilities for him to take on bodily form, step into their life and say, "Who you persecuting? It's me." He could step in and say, "You know what? You want a standard? I'm it. Come on. I am he." He could do that, but he doesn't. He's chosen not to do that. He has chosen instead to set up this procedure, this methodology. You follow me, my children, my saints, my believers. You guys follow me, and I'll let you reel them in. I'll let you drag the net in. I'll let you, dare I say, have the fun. Because let me just be honest with you, I don't really enjoy the whole part of buying and putting bait on a hook. And I mean, I do it, but I don't enjoy it. I don't go fishing. I mean, if that were the case, I could sit in my backyard and just, you know, skewer worms all day. Be a little inhumane now that I think about it. I could do that, but that's not what I have fun doing. I have fun reeling a fish in, you know? You know, sometimes you catch them and throw them back. You ever wonder if you're just catching the same fish over and over again? I've kind of wanted to mark them with a Sharpie to see. Yeah, I ain't got much sleep this week. I'm sorry. Like Peter and Andrew, our role is to cast the net when and where Jesus tells us to. We are ineffective when we try to do it any other way. And that's how, like, I marked my place here so I don't lose it. I mean, like, I want you to process that because you mean well. You mean to do good. Like, Carolyn, you just got to tell Jimmy I used a mess out of him today. You just got to tell him. But I know Jimmy's a really good fisherman. But it'd be like me and Jimmy sitting out there on his boat and me not trusting that he knows how to get the fish. And here I am, me don't know nothing about fish. And I'm like, give me that, Jimmy. I can do it. My son's favorite words. I can do it, Daddy. It's me over there. I can do it. I can do it. I can catch him. And the Lord's like, don't you understand? I'm not asking you to do that. Let me, you know, the God of heaven and earth. Let me, the one who made them, who fashioned them in their mother's womb, me who has a plan for their life, could you just let me worry about convincing them of their sin? Could you just let me reveal the plan of salvation to them? What I want you to do, not what I need you to do, what I want you to do is once I get them right where they need to be, I want you to bring them on into the family. I want you to take them from the dark, murky waters where they exist today, and I want you to bring them into a transformed existence. That's what I want you to do. I'm not asking you to go find them. I'm not asking you. I'll tell you where the fishing hole is. I'll make sure they're ready when you get there. I'll make sure you have everything you need to catch them. I'm just asking you to actually go catch them. That's what I want you to do. Remember, we titled this, Are We Fishing or Are We Drowning Worms? If we're fishing, there's a way to do that. We're going to trust God to do his role, but then we're going to do ours. What I have concerns about us is sometimes we don't feel like we've done that much if all we're doing is casting nets. We want to be the great fisherman who knows where the fish are. And we want to be the great fisherman who convinces the fish to get on the hook. We want to be the great fisherman that, you know, because when we go fishing with our children, we don't require them to do any of that. We just let them have the fun of reeling it in because they don't have pride yet. It's hard sometimes to sit on the boat and wait for God to tell you to cast the net. It's hard sometimes because we know people and we think we know them so well and we think that we're going to argue them into heaven. But we're not. And I know that from personal experience. I used to be extremely argumentative about the gospel. But God has taught me over the years that he knows where the fish is. He doesn't just know their geographic location. He knows what's going on in their mind. He knows what's going on in their heart. And he is all the time working and shaping and molding opportunities for man to find reconciliation with him. And frankly speaking, I've been in the way a lot of times because through my argument, through my focus on constructing this great theological debate that can't be unwoven, I have pushed fish aside. I have essentially gone to the lake and splashed around in the fishing hole and said, we're here to fish, we're here to fish. And they all ran away. Instead of Jesus allowing him to do the work that, man, he is so good at. I mean, he is so, I mean, just so marvelous at it. Now, the cool thing is that he does, from time to time, use us to communicate that to people. I heard a story just a few weeks ago about a guy who had been wrapped up in he'd been wrapped up in the Mormon church, pretty high up in it, and his wife had tried to witness to him for 6 years. He constructed every sound theological debate that she could, and it availed nothing. His neighbor made one statement, one sentence. It wasn't accusatory. It would never have sounded like evangelism. But the neighbor is a believer and just made one statement. And in an instant, the Holy Spirit revealed everything to this man about the faith that he had been raised in. And the guy has now turned completely, even at the risk of losing a lot of engagement with his family because they're high up. He's now serving Jesus with everything he has. Jesus knew. He knew what the guy needed to hear, when he needed to hear it. And praise the Lord, he had someone who would just cast. Just cast. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm just asking you to cast. That's what I'm asking you to do. I had planned to go into a lot of other things, but I've already talked for about as long as I want to. As I was explaining this, y'all know Kelly, she gets to hear a lot of these sermons before y'all. And as I was talking this over with her about 2 weeks ago, I was saying, I don't preach them to her because she needs them. I preach them to her for feedback, just in case anybody else. I thought about how that might have sounded. I went, I don't get myself in trouble. I'm just going to, I've already said, no, you're rolling, shut your mouth, so I guess I can't get in much worse trouble than that. So I'm just going to go ahead, I'm going to go ahead and say what the Holy Spirit was screaming at me as I was reading this. Jesus didn't ask Peter to find the fish. Jesus didn't ask Peter to do anything other than let down your net. In today's words, guys, cast the net. That's the thing we seem to not want to do. That's the thing we seem to be obstinate about. And I believe it's because we don't have faith that it will work. The work of bringing people to Jesus is mostly his business. He graciously engages us in the fun part. It takes faith to believe that whenever I make the pitch that there's a Jesus who loves you, that by some supernatural work that we can't see and we don't understand, that he is going to work in that person's life and mind and their heart and convince them that, oh my goodness, I do need a Savior. I am hopelessly lost. I may have it together in this life, but I'm up a creek for the next one. This is not good. We can't convince anyone of that. Only the Holy Spirit can. But it takes faith in that process to be willing to cast the net. As I saw this passage for the first time, what I grappled with was, one, do we follow Jesus? He gives us an invitation. He says, follow me. And we talked a lot last week about what that means and do we follow him or not? You know, we've settled that issue. The other side of that coin is, are we trusting his process to make us fishers of men? Or are we the kid who thinks we know it all and we're reaching and grabbing the rod out of his hand every 5 minutes? It takes a lot of trust in Jesus to let him do the fishing. But I told y'all the first week, I don't really enjoy fishing. I enjoy catching. So Jesus is the best fishing partner I could ever imagine having because he don't ask me to fish for anything. He just asked me to catch. Now I got to trust him. I got to trust him that when we get out there, he's going to find the fish. And when we get out there, he's going to get them on the hook. And when we get out there, he's going to hand me the rod and let me do the fun stuff. Debbie, if you'll go ahead and bring your team up. I'm going to close here. I don't know if any of you have noticed, but it seems like what the Lord continually is messing with me about is this work of evangelism. Last year, I taught you guys a 4 or 5 week series on evangelism. How do we win the lost? When Pastor told me I was going to have an opportunity again, I had just come across this passage and had it rock my world and go, wait a minute. We have Doug and James and David and Mike and a handful of other people who had this stirring in their heart to go into a place that needs rescuing. Let me tell you something, guys. Jesus has identified, I'm just going out on the limb and saying it. I believe that Jesus has identified a fishing hole. And he has made an appointment to come by and pick some people up. And he's taking them to the fishing hole, and it's a tough walk, isn't it? I mean, it's a bumpy trail. But I believe that there's going to be some fish caught. We're going to have fish fry. Remember that God doesn't just give preachers. He doesn't just give us messages so that we have something to say for 30, 35 minutes on a Sunday morning. He's speaking to us as a body of believers. And he is very interested in our role in evangelism. God has walked this church up to a pointed place of, are you going to fish or cut bait? We want church growth, and we want to see revival, and we want to see movement of the Holy Spirit. We want to see all these things. Jesus says, let's go fishing. I will make you fishers. I will construct in you the work of fishers of men. I will make that in you. If you will do what I'm telling you to do, I will handle that side of the coin. So as we close today, I'm going to ask that we take a minute. I have no idea what you're going to play, Debbie. Absolutely no idea. That's okay. But as Debbie plays and sings, I think that it is important for us to take a minute and maybe to hand the rod back to God. See, I think that there's some people in here today who are frustrated with their soul-winning efforts. And the reason they're frustrated is because they're not doing their part. They're trying to do God's. And the truth is, you weren't suited to do God's. He didn't build you to do his side of the equation. He's got that. He doesn't need that. He's got a role for you to do. He's got something for you to participate in. So some of us need to hand the rod back to God and say, all right, Lord, I'll do my part. I'll be ready so that when you hand me a loaded rod, we take a fish home. Others of us, we just need to become aware that we don't even have a net to cast. We haven't even thought through our responsibility in this equation. Maybe we haven't even gotten on the boat with God. But as we come through Palm Sunday and as we go into Easter, remember, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. If you ever get the idea that this is about anything other than that, Jesus didn't walk away from heaven to have a 33-year vacation. He didn't walk away from heaven to prove a point. The Son of Man came to seek, that means look for, to hunt out, and to save, that means to rescue the lost. And every one of us who isn't serving the Lord, every one of us who haven't surrendered our life to God are the lost that he has come to seek and to save. So we'll talk about a lot of things, Palm Sunday and Easter. We talk about a lot of, there's all kind of cool stuff we can illustrate around that. And it'll be done through this week. It'll be great. But you better boil it all back down to the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And if he did that, we have a responsibility in that work with him, and that is to cast the net. How do we cast the net? Man, you be there with people. You're going to have to spend time with the fish, you know? You're going to have to listen for that still small voice of the Holy Spirit to go, now. Because there'll be times when you're just engaged in conversation. There's going to be times when you're just, God has orchestrated a moment and didn't tell you it was coming. And now here it is. And he's going to say, now. You got to be listening for that. But if he says now and your net's at home, you wasn't serious about the work of evangelism. You need to be ready. You need to have something to give this person that God has been orchestrating something for. You need to let him pour into you so that you can pour out in that moment. I ask you if you will bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that you've given us today. I thank you for this series, this couple of weeks of focus on evangelism. God, I personally am grateful that you still are engaging us in the work. That, Lord, we had the opportunity to invest in the kingdom business with you. God, if we understand the truth of your scriptures, then, Lord, we have to come face to face with the realization that either we're not casting the net, either, you know, we're not extending the invitations, we're not engaging when you tell us to, or we're trying to be five steps ahead of you, trying to do something that's not our business, because you've got that. So, Lord, I ask that as we sing this song, as we wrap up our service, we're just going to take a minute and we're going to reflect inwardly, and we're going to look at where we are and how we're standing up in this race. And, Lord, I'm asking you to show us. Lord, I'm asking you to do an inspirational work in our heart. Lord, that we'll be like Peter, that even though we don't understand what you're doing, that we'll lower our net anyways. Because, Lord, we trust the process. While everybody's head is bowed, I just want to ask. If you've been sitting here today and you have come to the realization that, man, I'm not even fishing. You know, last week there was a handful of you that said, hey, you know what? I need to follow you. And that's great. Now I'm telling you what you're following for. You're following for the objective to get to cast the net. And maybe you're sitting here today and you go, man, I had no idea what we were doing, but now I do. And you say, you know what? I'm going to make a renewed commitment to be the best fishing partner there is. That I'm going to trust Jesus to do his part. But boy, I'm going to be ready when he says cast the net, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to cast the net, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it sounds crazy, even if it's like, but Lord, this guy, I've been trying to win him for years. Lord says, just ask him one more time if he needs me. Lord, that we will trust you. So if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. And I'll tell you why I want you to raise your hand. Two things. One, I want you to make a commitment in and of yourself that I'm getting in the fishing game. And then two, I want to know to pray specifically for you. So if that's you, just real quick, we ain't going to take long. Just real quick, I want you to raise your hand. Just me and you. In the fishing game. Amen. Amen.